Hello everyone and welcome back to another Super Rugby podcast with your host Damien Warren and
Toby Harris.
It has been a great weekend of rugby this weekend.
Well, we've finally got some Super Rugby back.
Oh, we've got Super Rugby, but...
Wrong side of the Tasman Sea. Oh, sorry, but what?
But...
We've got to plug ourselves.
We've got to... Well, no, I was going to say it's been very difficult to watch the games.
Well, I've seen about 10 minutes worth of highlights on both games.
Because
Sky Sport.
Sansa haven't sorted it.
Sky Sport haven't sorted out a deal.
And here was you a couple of weeks ago saying, oh, they got a great deal, $20 million a year.
No, that was previous.
Yeah, nothing now.
No,
zero.
No.
Zero.
It's
I'm
my
just
fault.
Very, very hopeful that we can get it sorted for this weekend.
Because
The big show's going to start. The Super Rugby Aotearoa.
The big show. But the thing is that if we can't watch it, we can't do the podcast. I'll be out of a job.
Well, some would say that's not a bad thing.
This is true.
No, we are going to watch it. I'm in talks with Sky myself.
Are you in negotiation?
I'm trying to work out the
I'll
the
give
league.
You £20 a month.
I've got two things, right?
Okay.
I know one's legal, so we're going to do that one.
No,
which is we're going to slingshot it from New Zealand to England.
How do you slingshot it?
There's a machine you can buy that you put onto my brother's Skybox and we can watch it in the UK.
But do we have to watch what he's watching?
Yeah, but because of the nature of we're 12 hours behind or whatever,
yeah,
when he's asleep, we could be watching control of his box. We could download a few movies.
If you know what I mean. Right, mate.
Imagine that. Imagine the bill. Damien?
Have you been watching explicit movies?
No,
again?
Jack Warren. It was my cat stripes. Anyway, before we go into all of the breaking news, we've got to talk about how people can find us, Tobes. So
yes.
How can they find us?
Well, they can find us on the Instagram, the Twitter, Spotify.
Really, just
Apple,
look at the description
iCloud.
Below, and it's all there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, below. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes, it is.
But what can they do to help us?
Give us a technical high five by liking, subscribing, writing comments, sending us emails with good questions to answer. That's the biggest
five
one
star
you can
review.
Do. Is we love hearing from you.
Have we had another five star?
We have had another five star review.
We?
We're up to 28.
28. Are that
we
all five star reviews?
Yeah, I think they are.
Wow.
I mean, these people have been drinking some serious cider before they've written those reviews. But yeah, they're all positive so far.
I like it.
I think someone said, I need to replace the mic. Remember back in the glory days?
The glory days
when
with
we
the
had
single
one
mic.
Yeah.
God, those are the good old days, eh?
No, they were rubbish.
Yeah, well, I had to sit next to you. Now I've kind of got to look at you, which is not great.
Anyway, mate, it's breaking
yes.
news. You're going to kick off first.
I like what you've done there, kick off. Pun intended, I'm sure. New Zealand rugby could gain from $465 million US investment firm offer. Now, this is American technology investment firm Silver Lake. Never heard of it.
No, I have.
Of course you have. You've heard of everything. And it's worth about $60 billion. Yeah. So they're going to give New Zealand rugby $500 million.
Now the issue here is there's two things here. We've seen this many, many times before. The latest one being the Premiership Rugby. And what happens is...
Yeah, that was quite a lot, wasn't it?
Yeah. And it's an investment. So they want their money back. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
But they're always going to have a 15% stake in the
All
brand.
Blacks.
So, yes, they're giving the All Blacks $465 million. But they also want 15%. So any future profits that New Zealand makes,
yeah.
they have 15% of it.
Wow.
Forever. And it's not like they are going to keep ploughing in money. This is a one-off payment.
Yeah.
So unless New Zealand Rugby uses that money wisely and uses that money to improve and make more money, you know, this is just a short-lived thing.
Well, New Zealand is looking at losing $40 million last year.
Yeah, this is for their 15% of their commercial rights. So when we talk about commercial rights, we're not talking about losses.
No, I know.
We're talking about the money that they collect in from Adidas and whatnot.
Yes, I know, but I'm just saying that New Zealand Rugby are looking at a $40 million loss last year because of COVID and whatnot.
They're going to lose more as well now that there's no TV deal coming in from Sky Sports at $20 million a year.
Yeah.
So there's another big hit to them, huge hit to them. But I just don't like this. And the reason I don't like it is because let's say you're a company and you get given a cash injection. If you use that money wisely and you improve your business and your product, then it's a sensible thing. But very rarely in sport have we ever seen that. What normally happens is they normally give the monies to the clubs and the setups, and then they go and spend it on players. And that's not improving, that's not generating more income, that's just
Improving the team. Is Sansa asking for too much from Sky? Or
It must be. It's Sky would want to put it on the TV if there was a big audience. There obviously isn't a huge audience in the UK. And because of that, they're like, well, $20 million a year, it's not worth it anymore.
It's too much.
South Africa aren't there anymore. So maybe they want it for 10. And Sansa have gone, oh no, you can't have it for 10. Because it's all linked into the internationals. So it's all linked into the international. It's all the rugby championship. Right. So they will eventually get round to it. But the longer it goes on,
The less money
it's worth.
Yeah.
So they obviously don't care about Super Rugby. They just care about test matches.
Yeah.
So the longer they hold out, the less it's worth. It's a real shame, eh? Because
it's a real shame for us, really. And I know that there's a lot of people in the UK that will be keen to watch it.
Really,
but it's just a bit of a pain in the backside.
I mean, there are ways, and we're obviously not pushing any of these, but you can still watch it. What we're going to do? Slingshot, get someone back in New Zealand to slingshot it over to you. There are VPNs, there is ways around, but obviously that's not something that we
condone
or pushing, that's for sure.
No.
But yeah, I don't like it. I like investments when it's an ongoing investment, not just here's a whole load of money, but we want forever 15% of guaranteed income.
Well, they're quite smart though, aren't they?
Oh yeah. I mean,
they're part of Dell, Motorola, and is it Salt Lake City Football Group as well? So they know their way around money.
They know, and it's almost a guaranteed win for them over a longer period of time, because it's 15% forever. And we all know that, you know, if the All Blacks do well, they're always going to have a decent sponsor in AMG or AIG, sorry.
AIG, yeah.
Or Adidas or whatever, because they are known as the best team in the world, success-wise.
Yes.
Talking about successful teams, the glory days of Danny Cipriani playing for the Rebels. And I think it was, and so it was 10 years ago that Danny Cipriani first signed and played for the Rebels in Super Rugby. And my question to you is, Tobes,
bring him back.
Do you think there's any chance of him coming back?
No. Maybe, but no.
Because if you look at a couple of teams...
Well, is he going to the Wasps?
No.
He's going back to the Wasps, I think.
Well, is he?
There was talks of that, I think.
I would love to see what happens. I doubt that he will. I think he's going to either quit rugby or he's going to want to change, big change.
Bring him to the Highlanders.
Well, you think he'd fit in really well in Super Rugby.
He would.
You know, there's a number of Australian teams that could do with another 10. And there's How definitely another New Zealand teams that could do with the 10 as well.
How old is he? He was age 22.
So now he's 32.
So he's 32 now.
So I'd love to see him back.
Yeah.
Love to see him back.
He's a good player.
Good player, good kicker.
Finn Russell.
Finn Russell, I know, would but you like you're to never going to get him back.
No, but would you like to see him?
I'd love to see him back.
Yeah.
I'll tell you another one we're going to talk about later. Marcus Smith, that's playing for Harlequins.
Not a clue.
Unbelievable.
Not a Scooby-Doo who that
Unbelievable,
is.
Mate. You watch out.
You're swearing
watch
at me.
Watch out.
You said Premiership Rugby. Stop
watch
swearing.
Watch out.
Disgusting.
He could be as good as Dan Carter.
Dan Carter's not good anymore. He's retired, mate.
That's one of my stories.
Oh, is he?
Over to you, mate.
Well, your story was long, eh? Jokes. Cardiff could host Lions
match.
Do you know
the definition of a poor joke teller?
You?
Is
Yes.
Is when you have to say jokes after your joke. Because it's so unclear.
It adds to it.
Is that because it could be workplace bullying?
Do you want to get on with this
Unless
podcast?
Unless I clarify, he may do me in the court of law.
I had enough of you. The Lions have reportedly written to the UK government.
What have they written?
To request a home series against South Africa this summer.
I just think it's just so stupid. There's COVID everywhere. There's apparently more South African COVID in Leeds than there is in South Africa. It's just ridiculous. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, so like the Lions board met last Thursday to sort of go through a proposal to send to the UK government.
To say we'd like to run it here.
We'd like to run it here.
Can we have some crowds?
Possible?
Are we going to be able to have crowds? Because I think they have mentioned dates where they could have half.
Yes.
So this is obviously what they want to clarify.
Well, they're saying that I was watching a football game earlier, and it said that the last game of the season they'll be able to have a crowd in. So it will happen before summer, and this is obviously happening during summer. So at the end of a long season for British, I'm guessing
they're kind of asking, will they be allowed to come over? Can we have special dispensation for them to come over, for them to train, stay in their bubbles, that type of thing?
Yes.
It'd be interesting. I mean, I don't like the idea of it. The more I think about it, the more, I mean, you know, and I got the side to argue for them to, you know, play it in England. But let's be honest to say, it just needs to be put off for a year. Just put it off for a year. I know that's not going to be great, but, you know, it's so much. I mean, as you argued, it's a tour.
Yeah.
It's not a home series.
No.
And it's not a home series for a number of reasons, because it's difficult to tour. You've got, what is it, five nations playing together.
Yeah.
Right? You've got five nations playing together against one nation. You know, you should win, but they never do. And part of that reason, well, they don't never do. But
four rugby nations.
Four, five.
Wales.
Yeah.
England.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Yeah.
And Ireland. There's no Northern Ireland rugby team.
Hang on. You've got England.
Yeah.
Scotland.
Yeah. Wales.
It's four, isn't it?
Fool. Yeah,
sorry. Do you know what it was? It's because it was the five nations. But that was because Italy are in, aren't they? Jeez, that's bad.
That is bad.
I do apologise.
Struth.
But you know, Scotland is so good that
they're
worth two. So, you know, that's five nations right there.
Better than England.
Well, yeah, they are at the moment.
At the moment, yeah.
Yeah, I just don't like the idea. And I think, and people might be, might prove me wrong, but imagine the British Lions playing at Twickenham.
So it says
it's so difficult for the South Africans to win.
That crowd limits could be lifted from June 21st in England. So that would, and I know we're looking at Cardiff, but one will follow each other. You'd think Wales and England, but you know, it could happen, and it probably will happen.
I think if they can guarantee they'll get crowds in and they'll make that money,
they'll make a lot of money.
You know, therefore they'll just do it.
But the thing is that if England or if the Lions do win, it'll be tainted, won't it?
Oh, massively.
Yeah.
I mean, if South Africa win, it would be unbelievable. It would be unbelievable to do it. I just put it off for a year.
Yeah, I agree.
But it won't happen. It will happen this summer because of the money.
Yes.
And the commercial rights.
But also South Africa want that money too.
Yeah, and they need it.
Yes.
They need it. Next one, mate, is World Rugby issues a response to concussion demands from new progressive rugby lobby group spearheaded by James Haskell. So the group have come together and they've said, we're making these recommendations to dampen down concerns about concussion for professional rugby players. This is our recommendations. And actually, to be fair to World Rugby, they've come back and they've given a statement. And the statement basically says, we are taking everything on board. We are looking to make these changes. But one of the big ones is to limit the time of contact training across all professional rugby. So that World Rugby come out and they say, we're saying to you that you can't do this much contact or that much contact across the whole of the world, so that it's a fair playing field amongst everywhere.
A bit like the NFL.
Absolutely, yeah. So
they don't do contact until they play.
They have a very small window, don't they? And then they have a certain amount of hours. But yeah, it's highly regulated. Highly regulated.
And if they get found out, they get fined.
Yeah. And the same thing does need to happen with rugby.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I keep mentioning this. It's a professional sport run in an amateur way. It needs to be a professional sport run in a professional way.
Yeah.
And, you know, the better coaches have limited their contact sessions because they know it's better for the players.
And they know they get more out of it the smaller window that they actually get for contact.
Yeah. That's, you know,
'cause, yeah.
It's you know, you can work on technique without doing full contact.
Yes.
You don't need to do full contact. But, you know, NFL got a lot of money. So, you know, it's easy for them to have their remote-controlled tackle bags that go everywhere. You know, rugby obviously don't have that much cash. So it'll be interesting to see how they get around some of those issues.
Yeah.
But some of the technology is amazing. Like, in the NFL, they can set up all of these blow-up tackle bags on, like, go-karts, and they can set up the opposition's plays. So they can just press a button and they just run at the same thing as they did on Saturday. Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable, eh?
That's a lot of money, eh?
A lot of money. A lot of money, mate. Next up for you.
Should we do it?
I'd love to make that money.
Yeah. Right. So red cards.
Red card there.
Red cards for me. So a red card at the moment is you're off for the rest of the game. Correct?
No.
Internationally, correct.
Correct.
Thank you.
But not in New Zealand and Australia. You ask me a question, I'm answering.
You're going to ruin it for me.
Oh, yeah, correct everywhere.
No, not correct everywhere. In New Zealand. In New Zealand and Australia.
They're trialling it, aren't
they? They're trialling a 20-minute sin bin where that player cannot come back on, but can be replaced after the 20 minutes. Now, that sort of got me thinking. Now, I saw an NRL game the other day, and a bloke got put on report, sin binned for 10 minutes, then he could come back on. Is that what rugby needs? Does it need 20-minute sin bin where they can't come back on like it's been trialled? Do they need a 10-minute sin bin where that person can't come back on? A 20-minute sin bin where that person can? where that person can come back on.
Hang on, what's this? We're opening a can of worms up here.
Sent off, or do they follow like they did in the NRL, and he goes off for 10 minutes, he gets put on report, and then later on, after the game, the judiciary or whoever look at it and say, right, that was poor. You've got a 1 week ban. You've got a 6 week ban.
Yeah, okay.
That then would not ruin a game of rugby.
Okay, so first of all, what doesn't work with that? Okay, that person that gets put on report.
Yes.
Right. The team that he's playing that he has affected, potentially injured someone.
Yeah.
They don't win out because this guy is still on the pitch. The guys that they played in the week after went out.
Yes.
Because he's been put on, he's been banned. Okay, so I believe quite strongly what New Zealand and Australia are doing is a good thing, which is they're saying that there's very few red cards that are like the old days, proper you know, nasty, you know, punch to the face, that type of thing. So they're saying that a red card generally these days is all, most of the time, is not intentional. So we're looking at maybe slightly high tackle.
Yeah.
We're looking at clear out of the rucks now. Yeah. And we're looking at taking a player in the ear. And most of those things.
And a lot of the time that player isn't necessarily injured.
Correct. So what they're saying is, we'll send you a red off, so you can't come back on and you'll be banned.
Yeah.
But we're not going to kill off the game, so we will allow someone on after 20 minutes. I think that the balance is right. What I might like to see is the green card. So you've got your yellow, you've got your red, and you've got your green. And what I would like to see is the green card is like the 20 minutes off. In that 20 minutes, the third officials or whatever can make a judgment call on whether or not that player can come back on the pitch or is staying off.
I don't like that because...
just muddying the water a little bit.
It's muddying the water, but also people have different point of views on certain things.
Yeah.
So one week it might be quite a soft red card.
Yeah.
But then the other week it might be something very, very similar or the same.
What about this
thing? And then they'll come back on.
You're given a red... an old school red for dirty play, like a punch in the face, something that's really malicious.
Yeah.
Right? You've got your green card, which is 20 minutes off, and you can be replaced, but you can't come back on. You've got your yellow card, which is 10 minutes in the bin. That's pretty simple, isn't it? So you've got real foul play. You've got...
but again... then,
you're right, you know, isn't it? Making it even
that's
more
why I
difficult.
That's why I quite like... you know, it could be the whole 20-minute sin bin and he can't come back on but be replaced. And then after the game, they look at, you're either, and I think a red card, you should have at least 1 or 2 weeks banned.
Yeah. What about some of these clearing out of the rucks? Do they need to get banned for that? Or is it punishment enough?
If it's a red card.
Automatic 2 weeks.
Automatic, well, 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay. I'll go with you, mate. I'll go with you. I don't like disagreeing with you.
Will you go out for dinner with me?
No.
Oh. Right, you're up, bud.
Dan Carter, mate, is finally retired.
No. First time I've heard this.
38 years of age. He's 39. Nearly 40.
He's
let's just
39,
say,
I think.
Let's say he's 45. He's done very well.
He's a great-looking bloke, too, isn't he?
He's still an impeccable Nick.
Oh. He's sculpted out of marble.
I think he's in better nick now than he was when he won the World Cup and the last World Cup as well. Like when you just look at him, you think, oh.
It's because he's had so much time off. He's not playing as much.
He's had so much Botox.
No, you think?
Does he shave his legs or not?
I don't know.
Silky smooth, mate.
Are they?
Silky smooth.
To be fair, you do, so you can't complain.
Nah, shave my underarms. Oh.
Village.
No, so, I mean, what a great servant to world rugby.
Not just New Zealand rugby, but world rugby.
My only element of disappointment with Dan Carter is, I know, I think he could have played on. I think he won the World Cup and he was at his peak of his powers.
Wow.
And I reckon he could have made the next World Cup.
No.
Yeah.
Do you reckon?
Absolutely.
But like Ma'a Nonu.
Well, you think about where we were at the next World Cup. We were umming and ahhing between Richie,
yeah,
and Bowden.
True.
You know, Dan.
Dan the man.
Dan was still smashing it overseas, still looking good. I just think he could have played on.
Potentially,
and
yeah,
maybe definitely could have played on for another 2 years and really kind of brought through Richie Mwanga and Bowden Barrett and really kind of, you know,
stirred the pot with them a
bit. Yeah, developed them a little bit more. And then after 2 years, right, guys, it's your time to shine, but you've learned a lot from me.
Yeah.
Sort of an apprentice moment. But he's been great, hasn't he? World points record holder.
Player of the year for 3 years, I think, as well.
Yeah, I mean, his last one was in his last year as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, 2015.
That's not bad, is it?
What a guy. Super Rugby titles, Rugby Championship titles.
Did he win the European Cup?
I think with Russing, yeah. Maybe, don't know.
Let's just say he did because it sounds good.
Yeah, it does.
He won the Japanese top league.
He did.
That's the name of it, the top league. It's a bit village, isn't it?
No. Oh, right there.
What do you mean, the top league? It's like the Blues.
Well, it's the top league, isn't it? And the bottom league is called the bottom league.
What's the middle league called? The
middle league. Right, so going on with Dan Carter, Sir Clive Woodward hails Daniel Carter.
Whoa.
What's that, bud?
You didn't give Sir Clive the level of respect that Sir Clive deserves.
I said Sir Clive.
But you just brushed over
it. Yes, because I don't like him.
It's
Sir Clive Woodward.
It's Sir Clive Woodward.
Sir Clive Woodward.
Yes.
Okay. Hails Dan. That's village from you.
No, it's not.
Yes,
what's
I can't
village
believe
is what he goes on and says.
Yes. Dan Carter, but rates Johnny Wilkinson ahead of All Blacks ace. Now, I would like to put this to Twitter.
Who's better, Dan Carter?
Daniel Carter Johnny Wilkinson?
The world point scoring champion.
Highest
World Cup winner, multiple World Cup winner.
Yeah.
Or
Johnny Wilkinson, good player.
No, Johnny Wilkinson, great player.
Yeah.
So, is Johnny Wilkinson the GOAT?
So let me just... so
he's not, is he?
Sir Clive Woodward rates Daniel Carter as the greatest attacking first five in the world, but still rates Johnny Wilkinson ahead of him as the perfect 10. Now, what gets me is there's a documentary about Daniel Carter called The Perfect 10, starring Daniel Carter. So, it's just... I mean,
and also he's just retired. How bad form is that?
It's quite bad form.
It's like, oh, congratulations, Daniel, on all you've achieved, but you're not as good as Johnny.
English people will say potentially Johnny Wilkinson's better.
No.
Some will.
Some will, yeah. Johnny Wilkinson was a much better kicker. But Dan Carter was still a very, very good kicker.
He was a good kicker.
But you can't deny Johnny Wilkinson was a better kicker. But in every other facet, maybe Johnny was a better tackler. But Dan was a good tackler as well. Well, I tell you one thing that I'm actually now starting to agree with Clive Woodward. Where Johnny was very good was he stuck to the game plan right to the bitter end. Whereas Dan was a bit more natural. That's a good thing and a bad thing, I'm guessing. But, you know, I can't remember him playing badly ever, Dan Carter. He was just consistently good. I know everyone talks about the British and Irish Lions match as like his ultimate performance.
2005.
But the World Cup final, you know?
He was fantastic, yeah.
He ran that whole World Cup, you know, like a true legend. And arguably some would say Johnny Wilkinson did too when he won, but I would give it to Dan comfortably because he was a complete player, whereas Johnny was a more defensive kicker, servicer. Yeah. Yeah. 10-man rugby. 10-man rugby. Mate, it is time for the result.
Oh, is it? I was just looking up on Wikipedia about Daniel Carter and Johnny Wilkinson. Results, yes. So, London Irish had a fantastic second half to draw with Bristol Bears, 34-all.
It was a great game.
Northampton Saints overturned the Exeter Chiefs, 13-12.
Controversial.
Leicester Tigers beat Wasps, 27-8. Harlequins beat Sale Sharks, wow, 24-12. And Bath beat Gloucester, 16-14.
Again.
Wow.
Controversial win. Some good rugby from the weekend. We're going to go into a little bit of it. But can I just say, there was many a good player on the pitch that should be playing international rugby. Charles Pieta was absolutely unbelievable.
He is class, isn't he?
Actually? Unbelievable. Danny Kerr.
Is he a scrum half?
I think he is the... And I've thought this for quite a while. I think he's an outstanding scrum half, but he'd be the best scrum half off the bench in the world.
Is it Young at the moment?
Young's, yeah.
How's he making the team?
Because Eddie likes him.
Steady Eddie.
Danny Kerr.
Steady Eddie needs to go into the bathroom and have a hard look at himself in that mirror and go, right, I'm old, I'm small, don't know what I am, look like a little golem.
I'm an angry man.
And he needs to go, right, Young's off, you go, Owen's off, you go, Farrell, Owen Farrell, see you later, son.
No, I think it's so tough on Owen Farrell. Have I mentioned that? Owen Farrell apparently is a really good guy. Well, have I mentioned that in past podcasts?
I don't care, mate. Western Force fell short against the Brumbies, 27-11. And the Reds, 41-7 against the Waratahs. Wow. So that's the first round of Super Rugby AU.
So hang on. Can I just clarify? You've done both results. You didn't give me any moment to shine.
No, because you were too busy talking about, hang on.
The Reds were amazing.
Have I told you that Owen Farrell is quite a nice guy?
The Reds were great. It was a surprise because
red card
in the preseason, the Waratahs won that fixture, and it just shows that preseason matches don't actually matter. But the Reds were exceptional from 1 through to 15, and arguably the bench as well. The Brumbies were back to their boring best.
Brumbies played well, though.
Yeah, but the Force, I don't think the Force will lose every game. I think the Force will do okay. In fact,
how much money are you going to put on that?
Not a lot. But I reckon they might make the semis, which is the most ridiculous thing about the Super Rugby competition.
That is a ridiculous thing.
They'll make the semis, and there's only five. So everyone's going
to... Okay, so we need to predict now who's going to win that Australian conference.
Oh, I would love to say that we've done this before. The Reds, we hope. The Brumbies will probably snick it. And the reason why the Brumbies will probably snick it is because it's really tough to play away at the Brumbies. In Canberra, it's tough. You know, these Reds boys who are used to the nice sun on their backs.
Yeah, that's right.
They go away to Canberra and it's cold, it's wet, it's miserable.
Go to the capital, mate. Go to the capital.
So I think probably the Brumbies will just edge it.
Well, we haven't seen the Rebels play yet, to be fair, either, so I'm not sure we can make an
informed decision.
An informed
In fact, I haven't
judgment.
Actually seen any of them play because it's not on Sky.
I know. Villaggio.
But we're going to get it sorted.
Right, mate,
week.
What caught your eye?
Do you know what caught my eye?
Well, that's why I are. Yes. Yes, I do.
James O'Connor, mate. Dangunu.
Yeah, Dangunu.
Now, Dangunu did something that I've never seen on a rugby pitch.
Did he pass the ball?
No.
Oh.
Mike Brown's starting to pass the ball, though. It's amazing, isn't it? He's learned that skill after all these years. Anyway, Dangunu
Mike Brown
was up
Is
in
he
the
still
air.
Playing?
Yeah, up in the air. Dan Gunu up in the air, takes a high kick.
Yeah.
Player goes to tackle him. What normally happens?
Doesn't he?
Just wait. What normally happens? Well, he's in the air. Player goes to tackle him. Right. Normally hits his legs.
Yes,
and he goes flips. Fling him.
Yes.
What happens to Dan Gunu on this one?
Well, to be fair, Dan Gunu was sprinting quite hard at the defender.
Yeah.
And he almost goes through him, doesn't he?
He bunts him off.
Yeah.
And goes through him and goes and scores.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's like, how's he done that? He's superhuman.
He's a good player.
James O'Connor said after the game that he thought the Reds played almost a flawless game of rugby. I would argue to say I think James O'Connor played an almost flawless game of rugby.
How good has he become with age? He's like a cheese. He's like a mature cheddar cheese.
He's still quick enough as well.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people when they get a bit older.
Although he did look like he was running in mud when he set up that try.
Yeah. That you know what it's like though.
That was four pass though, wasn't it?
Oh wow, yeah. That's one of my other things that I've
sorry,
mentioned.
Bud.
I just thought they were really, really good. I think the Reds are really good. I think that I like the look of them. They're finally starting, and we've seen that them grow in confidence over the years. Is this a year they'll shine? They've got to beat the Brumbies, and if they can beat the Brumbies, then they'll win the whole thing because I can't see them losing to anyone else, you know, kind of...
Yes, at the moment.
At the moment. So I thought James O'Connor's passing was awesome. Dan Gurney's balance and pace was fantastic. My question is, can he play international rugby? And
Dan Gunu.
Saying no, he can't because, you know, top teams and tactics, his one or two weaknesses that he has in his game currently, they just magnify them. Put pressure on him in a kick, he really struggles, you know. So I just thought in that game, if we're talking about the games on the weekend, what I was surprised about was how the video ref made the mistake of the forward pass, but... We saw a number of these, and what I did like, Toby, is the ruling. And the ruling is it clear and obvious? And if it's not clear and obvious, they should stick with the on-field decision. But they were clearly obvious forward.
Yeah, yeah. So it is what it is, though.
That's my first thing. Over to you.
Hunter Paisami.
Very good.
Midfield for the Reds. Again, O'Connor feeding him good ball. Feeding him good ball. You've got Patai out wide as well.
Now, do you think Patai should be playing at 13, though?
I mean, he's played pretty well there.
Because they're playing him on the winger at the moment. So Hunter's playing at 13.
Hunter's good, though.
Yeah, but Hunter could play at 12.
Nah, I'd keep him at 13. Although he could play at 12, you're right.
You could play at 12, but...
But are they quite similar players?
Maybe.
Who's playing at 12 at the moment for the Reds?
Don't ask me that question.
I couldn't tell you either. But Hunter Paisami, very, very good.
I think, to be fair, and we will find out his name, the 12 is a bit of a Ryan Crotty. Is the glue. He's the glue. And maybe you're right with Hunter Paisami.
He's a bit more flamboyant.
Yeah. And maybe you need that steady away, especially when you've got lots of Pataya, Paisami, Dan Gunu.
A lot of pies.
You've got this kind of, you know, he's the yin to the yang,
yes,
isn't it?
Yeah. Game changer, or the Reds were too good. The red card. So now I know it was just 20 minutes and then he got replaced, but did it make a huge difference, do you think? Or would it have made a huge
No.
Huge,
no.
No. I agree. They were just very, very good.
Talking about red cards. Five caught my eye.
Five red cards.
Five red cards on the weekend in the Premiership.
Were there?
Five. Plus two yellows. So we've got seven cards. And they were pretty much all for the same offence. Guess what that offence was?
Pulling the finger at the referee.
No.
Oh, sorry. What was the offence?
The clear out.
Oh, there you go. So they've obviously got...
Yeah, and they've gone chicken wing. Tucked the old chicken wing in, and they've boshed them out of the way. I'm not saying they're all like that, but that was pretty much most of them. I think at least three of the five was exactly the same. And I do agree, I have to say, I really like how the referees are saying any contact to the head, if you've got that arm chicken winged in, you're off.
Yeah.
So get your
that's
arms
consistent,
up.
Actually,
get your arms up. If you get him in the head and your arms are up and you're making a tackle and he's dropped a bit, you'll get a yellow.
Yeah.
But if you're not making an effort to wrap both arms,
no,
then it's a straight red.
Then see you later, son.
Now, people say, but obviously the players haven't been told. I can tell you now those players have been told. But it's called the dominant response, Tobes. Do you know what the dominant response is?
No, but I want you to tell me.
You don't really want me to tell you, do you? But I'm going to tell you anyway, Tobes. Very simple. When someone's done something for a long time, when they're put under pressure, they'll revert back to dominant response. So Mike Brown, when he's put under real pressure...
Won't pass. Yeah.
Okay? When he's not put under pressure, he might be able to pass.
Yeah.
And a lot of these players, when they're put under pressure, they'll adopt the chicken wing style and the shoulder in, because that's what they do dominantly.
Yes.
And it's only when they're not so, you know, they've got time to think clearly. So it's going to take some time to get all of these players to dominantly respond to what they should be doing. It's going to take maybe weeks or months for that to happen. So we'll see more and more of these red cards from clearing out too high, from tackling still too high, from the chicken wings for another few weeks or months. And I just think we need to see it through the other side.
Well, it was a bit like all the penalties at the start of Super Rugby Aotearoa.
Yeah, but the referees didn't see it through.
No, that's true.
You know, they were like, oh, it's ruining the game, so we better revert back.
1 million penalties.
Yeah. And I just think that the referees can't do that. They've got to, you know, player safety, we've got to make a real effort. And I do think the players, if they're given time, will just get a new dominant response.
Andy Powell.
Love this comment.
Makes bold English or England claim. So former back row Andy has claimed England should drop Owen Farrell and that boss Eddie Jones is the wrong man for the job.
So Andy Powell is Welsh, right?
Yes.
They're playing Wales on Saturday.
Yes.
This is just him trying to...
Well, he's just ruffling up feathers,
isn't
he? Just
ruffling up some feathers.
There was another English bloke who said the same thing, but I can't remember his name.
Oh, see...
Midfielder. Retired. Don't know.
Guscott?
Nope. Not that old.
Tindall?
He's not Welsh.
Oh, a Welsh one?
Yeah, Welsh guy, yeah.
Oh, mate, no idea.
Nah, I wouldn't have a clue either.
No idea.
But, you know, English people have been saying the same thing.
Is Eddie Jones
the right man for the job?
Well, he has to be now.
Well, it's too late,
isn't
it?
It's too late. You know, we picked it, didn't we? We said there is a potential with Eddie Jones to burn players out. And luckily for England, they've got so many players
that they can burn out.
They can burn them out and spit them out the other side. And I do think that if he, you know, I just don't see him getting rid of Owen Farrell, but I do see him potentially going in different directions with maybe Billy, potentially.
Why is Young still there? He can't kick a ball. He's not quick to the ruck. His pass isn't fast enough or what it was. He's been poor for a year or two now.
So's Billy.
Yeah.
Big Billy. I think he's just so hung up. He's Eddie Jones is so stubborn that he'd rather lose
than get advice from other people.
Yeah. I like Eddie Jones though. Like, I genuinely, whenever I see him, I'd hate to play underneath him because he plays all the mind games and stuff. But he's a funny guy.
He's good to watch on the media.
Yeah, it's great.
Doesn't take any...
Entertaining. But do I think... I didn't think he was the right man for the job for this 4 more years. I think Eddie Jones is quite a good guy to have in for 2 years. You know, shape everyone up and move on.
Yeah.
But he's not a man for the long game because he's just so intense.
Yeah, he's not.
So intense. So, you know, Danny Keir...
Yes.
Talking about Danny Keir being one of the best nines. The reason why Danny Keir is not playing anymore is because in the Japanese game where he started, at the end of the first half when they were down, Danny Keir kicked the ball dead rather than running it. And Eddie Jones went, you're never doing that. He never played again. He's never played since. So he basically had a falling out and has never played since.
That's mate, stubborn, eh?
Exeter. Last kick of the game.
Oh, are we still going on what caught your eye?
Yeah, mate.
God, how many eyes have you got?
I've got two.
God.
Wow.
Carry on.
Which I thought that was quite interesting. But the other thing was Harlequins were amazing. Don Brandt was awesome. Danny Kerr was awesome. Joe Marchant was awesome. Marcus Smith was awesome. Charles Piatow was awesome. Nick Phibbs was awesome. All of these guys, in my opinion, should be playing international rugby.
I was going to say, why isn't Joe Marchant? He was at the Blues for a season. Get him in the England squad. Good enough.
I reckon. Mate, it's time for listeners' questions.
Excellent.
Absolute Bobby Dazzler, this one.
Okay, I'm listening.
Shall I get down to the first? Because it's quite a big double whammy here. The first one is, what do you mean when you say village?
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't find a definition anywhere, and I have a good idea from listening, but what does village mean?
Should we just leave it up to him? See if he can work it out?
No.
Oh, that's village.
We've explained it once or twice before, haven't we?
Yeah.
It just means rubbish. So if we think something's rubbish, village. We can go into full details, but it could be up to you to go back and listen to every podcast
we've ever done. Don't do that.
Gets our numbers up.
No, but he'll stop listening to us. He'll get sick of us.
He'll realise we're not very good. So that's the first one. He said, do we miss New Zealand?
I do, yep.
Yep. Especially during this time when they're all loving it. But the great question is this.
Oh, and the rugby would be on Sky Sports.
And it would be. We'll be able to watch it. You're a coach of any team in the up-and-coming Super Rugby Aotearoa. Pick your team that you'd like to coach, and you can add one player to the squad, and it can't be Izzy Folau, because he said,
I know
what you're thinking. He knows as well. So which would you have, mate? For this one, I've got the teams. I've got the results there. There we go. Oh, it caught my eye. There we go. Yeah. Oh, we've already done that one. Listeners' questions. Okay, here we go. And those are the teams, mate.
Okay.
Just so you don't forget.
I would pick the Highlanders.
Why would you pick the Highlanders?
Because they're the best team. And they're just good crack.
And they've got the best stadium.
And they're good crack.
And you'd have Tony Brown. And you could wear a TV. Flat cap too.
We'd be flat cap
what
brothers.
What player from anywhere in the world, can't be Izzy Folau,
okay,
who would you bring into your squad?
I had seen this question. I had thought of someone, but now I've forgotten.
Shall I do mine
first?
Yes,
you go first.
I would pick the Blues.
Okay. Oh?
Okay, I'd pick the Blues. Now, the reason why I picked the Blues is because...
Oh, maybe I was going to pick the Blues. I can't remember.
Just because the Highlanders wear blue.
So, I was going to pick Finn Russell.
Really?
Yeah. I was either going to pick, well, there's three. Finn Russell.
Yeah.
Antimac. Oh. Or DuPont.
But what am I doing? What am I done?
But the thing is that Aaron Smith is there, so I'm not sure I'd want DuPont.
Yeah, okay.
So, Antimac, do the Highlanders have a really good 10? They've got Ione.
Yeah, and Mitch Hunt.
Or Ioane, sorry, Ioane. And Mitch Hunt.
Yeah.
So they're all right, but Highlanders actually have a pretty good team. They've got Solomon...
Marlowe.
Yeah.
They're not going to be bad, are they?
No, they're going to be
I think. I think the Hurricanes are going to struggle.
I think the Hurricanes might struggle. Although they've got Julian Savia back.
They do, but apparently he's in good nick as well.
He looks in good nick.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Well, I'm going to go for the Auckland
Blues.
You said
the Blues, yeah.
I'm going to go for the Auckland Blues.
Okay.
And these are my candidates. So I've got Owen Farrell.
No, disgusting. Why is there someone swearing on there?
Have I mentioned that he's a good guy? So I'd bring him in for the group.
Just for the bants.
Yeah. Marty Banks.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Love that.
George Ford.
Yeah.
Cipriani,
yeah,
or Finn Russell, because the...
Well, you'd be playing against Finn Russell because he's at the Blues. He's at the Highlanders.
He's at the Blues, is he? He's at the Blues. Because they are dying for a really good team.
They are.
Now, I know in future years they may or may not have Barrett, but at the moment, the one position that they truly are
lacking
is a really good team.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to add one more to that. Marcus Smith from the Harlequins.
Okay.
He is electric. Good kicker. But my big thing is good kickers here. Now, I was joking with Owen Farrell, of course. I'm joking with Marty Banks,
Of course I am.
Do you like Marty Banks? That was playing for Buller, mate. Look how skinny his legs are.
Look how young he looks. Those are chicken legs, eh?
I reckon it's out of George Ford, Cipriani, and Finn Russell.
Okay.
Now, I would go Finn Russell.
Yes.
But I couldn't have Finn Russell.
I'd go Antimac.
Then I forgot about Antimac. Now, I'm not going to go into Mac.
Okay.
I'm going to go George Ford. I think George Ford, the way that he plays the game...
Suits New Zealand rugby
yeah. down to T. Now, I would go Finn Russell, but you've got him.
Yeah.
I also think Cipriani could be brilliant, but I'm worried that in Auckland, down by the harbour...
Get on the piss. There's a few beers. All the New Zealand ladies all over him.
So,
handsome.
Whereas... George Ford is a true professional. Now, I did think about Pollard for those South African fans, but didn't think he plays quite an attacking game, enough attacking game.
He's
too safe. So I'm going to go for Ford or Russell.
I think Russell would fit well in the Highlanders.
Amazing. Well, he'd be brilliant in the Highlanders, wouldn't he?
Scottish connection, but also loves to fling it and ying it.
He loves to think, and they play inside.
And that's how they like to play, though, as a team.
Yeah.
So, you know, imagine the service he'd get from Aaron Smith.
That would be a dream, wouldn't it? That would be
Unreal.
A dream.
Real.
Now, people may ask, why didn't you choose the Crusaders? Why didn't you choose the Crusaders? Because it makes you feel sick.
Yes. That is the reason, yeah.
The reason why I wouldn't choose the Crusaders, I think the Crusaders... have done well the last couple of years, and I think that they are on.
Do you think they're on the decline?
I think they're on the decline.
Still got a good team, though.
Got a good team, but I can see the Blues. I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't think the Highlanders can do it.
No.
I don't think the Hurricanes can do it.
No, I agree.
But I do think the Chiefs could.
That would be a huge bounce back, wouldn't it?
But I definitely see the Blues having a better squad. Yeah. Which brings us on to your question, isn't it?
Yes.
So do you want to go for your question?
Yes. So my question to you, who will win Super Rugby Aotearoa?
So I think it's out of the two teams, which is the Crusaders and the Blues. And I've looked at the teams, and I just think the Blues have a stronger squad. The big thing will come down to coaching, I reckon. So will Scott Robinson be able to, with his group, create a better environment than Liam McDonald? I just think the Blues are going to be hungrier. And they've got some really good characters in their team. Like, they've got... the big one for me, who is just a really good guy to have around, is Patrick Tupilotu. So guys like Josh Goodhue and the Ginger Ninja.
Yeah.
Tom Robinson. You've got some real good guys, but you've also got the young. You've got Ioane, Satutu, TJ
Faiani,
Rico.
Yeah,
Mark Talia, Caleb Clark. So you've got a real good mix of experience with youth. And arguably, you don't have as much of that with
Crusaders. How good are their props?
I know, very, very good.
Lalala. Wow.
But where are they weak? Where are Auckland weak?
Hooker and probably...
They're not weak at hooker, mate. Trust me. They're not good. I would say Kurt is
Kurt.
Kurt, yeah, is a very good player. Now you're right. If he gets injured,
yeah, there's no depth there.
There's no depth there.
Josh Goodhue, maybe second row. There's a couple of injuries there.
Mm. But it is, the great thing that Auckland have got in spades is just power. They've got so much power. And
big Islanders,
they've got a lot of pace as well. Pace out wide. Yeah, but you're right. At 10 is the big question mark. Now, Richie Mwanga is class. But he's lacking a bit in the midfield. He's lacking a bit in the midfield. And that's might be ultimately where they have their biggest downfall. So my
also
money
nine,
is on
Finn Christie. He was all right.
He was a good player. Good player. Mike, my question to you.
Yeah, what's that?
Mike Brown has come out and said that Eddie Jones has a coaching style of my way or the highway. Do you think this is correct? And if so, do you think it's a good thing or a bad thing?
I think it is correct. Because what you've just said about Danny Keir, you know, he's kicked it dead. He's made one mistake and he's absolutely chewed his head off. Is it a good thing? I think we've touched on it again. I think it's a good thing in the short term, but long term, it'll just grind people down. And it'll almost turn players against you. Because if you come to him with a suggestion and he just keeps on shooting you down, then you're gonna stop doing it, aren't you? And just go behind his back and all that sort of jazz. So I think short term, it's my way or the highway is all right. You need to insert your dominance or put your foot down. But I don't think long term, it's a very healthy way to run a team.
Yeah, I think someone like James Haskell, loved Eddie Jones. And the reason why he loved Eddie Jones is because before Eddie Jones came along, how things were done were a bit here and a bit there.
Yes.
And Eddie Jones come in and just sharpened everyone up. And it was at the end of his career. So he was like, well, I've only got a couple of two good years left. Yeah. So I'm just going to make hay while the sun shines type thing. He really liked that. I'm not sure whether Haskell would have liked it if he had 5, 6, 10 years left.
Yeah.
Because as you say, grinds people down. You know, at some point, you need to be able to give people some control.
You know, Steady Eddie, might have been healthy for him in England if he had even stepped away from the job and just gone, right, I've done what I set out to do, was to get England to win a World Cup.
But he hasn't won the World Cup.
Which he didn't.
And that's the reason why he's going on.
They're not going to win a World Cup.
Mate, they might do. They might do. If they're going to have, if you're going to have a dip in form like they are now, this is the time to do it. Because this is the time.
A dip in form. They've lost one game.
But they are having a dip in form.
They've lost one game.
But they are having a dip in form.
Well, maybe.
They didn't play that well against Italy. They didn't play that well against France's third team in the last game of that competition.
But is that his coaching style? Is that why England aren't playing well? Because of what he's been doing to them?
Yes, but I do think that
you
can...
Do you think he'll be able to...
Ben Youngs.
Yes.
Dip in form.
Needs...
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily need to go, but
if he bins him off now, he's got time to...
Yeah,
you spend like Australia, right?
He should have binned them off.
Yeah.
He should have been.
But my point is this. If you're going to press a reset button, it now's not a bad time to do it. You've still got time before the World Cup.
I think he's the wrong man for the job.
Oof, yeah.
And that was your question to me.
It was. I agree. I agree with everything you're saying. But my point is when you say they won't win a World Cup, my point is they still may.
Well, anyone could win a World Cup.
Yeah, because Australia, absolute mess, and they've got their act together. And I think that England could be in the same thing of, you know, if Ben Youngs had have limped on till next year, then we've got a problem. But actually, the fact that he's not playing well now might speed things up, and therefore he gets replaced with a new cab on the rank, and then they're away.
Yeah, but you could say the same about Owen Farrell.
But I just don't think Owen Farrell is an issue. Owen Farrell is Owen Farrell. You know what you're going to get. He's consistent. He's always played like the way he's played. What annoys me is people are saying that he's not good. He's never been that good.
No, he hasn't been that good. But I think the last two or three games that we've seen him play, he hasn't been himself. He's been even worse.
I would argue that without Tuilagi,
hasn't been very
without
good.
Without Tuilagi, you can't play Farrell. If Tuilagi's playing, you can play Farrell.
You can't play Farrell at 12. He's not a 12.
Correct. He's not a 10 either. But he's a 10. He's a good
he's a great water boy.
He's a good kicker, and he's a good positional man, and he's a good manager of a game when he's got Tuilagi, who he can ship
when
the ball to.
When he's got players around him.
That can get him over the game line and get him out of trouble. Create space. Because he can't create space. He doesn't create space.
No, he doesn't. Is he a player that you'd have on the bench coming
no.
on?
Imagine the value he wouldn't add.
Would you start George Ford? Or would you start someone else?
I would
Simmons.
I would possibly. I like George Ford. I think he's a good enough kicker. He's not a great kicker, and that's why that's the big problem with Owen Farrell. He's such a good kicker.
Hasn't been lately.
So I would possibly say, okay, if you can get Tuilagi fit, then you can play Ford. And then you bring someone off the bench, and that would be George Ford. My issue is, if you don't have Tuilagi, then you've got to start with Ford.
Tuilagi won't be playing much rugby.
No. You've got to start with Ford, and really, I don't see any value bringing on Farrell.
No.
So then would you be better bringing on Marcus Smith? And the answer is yes. It's a tough one, eh? Because if he's got Tuilagi, you pick Farrell. If you don't have Tuilagi, I don't think you can pick Farrell. No. But anyway, next question is from Derek Scott.
We're doing the quiz.
We are, but just going to very quickly. He's asked, America are really rubbish at 15s. What do they need to do to make it better?
Start it from a younger age.
Good coaching from younger down.
Yeah.
That is the big thing, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what they need to do.
We've seen lots of teams improve, but long-term results need long-term answers, and that's lower down.
Yeah, from a young age, from a schoolboy age, schoolgirl age, they just need good coaching.
They need a World Cup. If they get a World Cup, they're drums in business. But then they need the coaches there to help that out. They need links with the professional clubs.
Yep.
You know, that they will get there. Just how long?
It's just taking time. But also, the United States have far bigger and, in their eyes, better sports. And rugby is way down the list.
Way down the list. NFL.
It's like football NBA. Will never be very good in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because it's not coached to a good enough level at schoolboy, schoolgirl.
So how can they be so good at sevens, though?
Because sevens is more space.
Raw
and you
ability.
Don't actually need that much ball handling skills. You look at the fast Isles, or whatever his name is.
Yeah, yeah.
Carlin Isles.
Yeah.
He's not fast. To be fair, he's gotten so much better.
Yeah.
But that's because he's been in the professional environment and got top level coaching.
Yeah.
When he first started, he could barely catch it. He couldn't tackle, but he was quick.
Yeah, so mate, coaching from younger down, get more kids involved. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
Because you've got talent.
You need it in high schools, you need it in primary schools. You need a rugby team in high school rather than potentially just at club.
Yeah,
100%. You need it everywhere.
Jamie, we're going to answer your question about if the Lions was actually switched and we had New Zealand, Australia, South Africa to choose from, who would be our team? We're going
to
leave that for a few weeks, Jamie, until
we'll
we've seen a bit more.
We'll need to ponder on that, won't we? Yeah.
Seen a bit more of them play. And it's been hard without South Africa as well. But we are off now to finish off the podcast with another quiz, Tobes. Now, I was absolutely rubbish last week. And you were. exceptionally good.
I only got two right.
Mate, for you, that's exceptionally good. 2 out of 3. I'd take 2 out of 3. Now, again, I've been very kind to you.
I know I have. You should get 3 out of 3. If you don't, there's something wrong with you, mate.
Oh, I know there's something wrong with me. Look at my choice of friends.
I'm not your friend.
Oh, right. Maybe right. There's nothing wrong with me.
Right, do you want me to go first?
Do you want to know my topic?
No. You can tell me after I... Do you want to know my topic?
Go on.
Rugby World Cup records.
Oh, right, okay.
But they're not difficult. Okay, here's your first one. Who has played the most Rugby World Cup games in history, nation-wise?
Yeah, go on.
New Zealand, Australia, France, or England?
It's got to be New Zealand. Can't be South Africa.
South Africa wasn't there.
Well, New Zealand have made... Ooh, England have made a lot of finals, haven't they?
You've almost got to think back to
It's going to be New Zealand because we've won.
You've almost got to think back to when we've got knocked out.
Exactly, and England have been knocked out in the group stages.
2015,
they own did. World Cup.
What about France?
Nah, New Zealand, mate.
Okay, final answer?
I hope so.
Yeah, you're correct. So New Zealand's 50, Australia and France are on 48.
Oh, so it's pretty close.
Very close. And then England is 44.
What is South Africa?
South Africa, because
they weren't
they
in
missed
the first two.
So they're 34.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Mate, mine is, where in the world are these people?
Okay, right.
Okay. So first person up, and you got the same choices.
Okay,
so
cool.
A is America.
Yeah.
B is Japan.
Okay.
C is France.
Yep.
Or D is England.
Okay.
Or the UK.
Yes. Fine.
I'll give you the UK.
Okay, thank you. Very kind.
All right, so first one up. Ma'a Nonu. Where in the world is Ma'a Nonu?
He was in America, but has he gone to France? Or has he gone to Japan? I'm just going to go America. That was my gut.
You think he's in America?
Yeah.
Final decision?
Yeah. Because I haven't heard him going anywhere else, but I could be wrong. I am wrong.
France, mate. Toulon. He was in America. You were right. But obviously with COVID.
I just haven't heard of him
moving.
Going. So is he going back to Toulon?
He's going back to Toulon, yeah. I mean, he's like, he is basically 40 years of age.
Yeah. Well, he's pretty much the same age as Daniel Carter.
You know? He's just still trucking on, isn't he?
Yeah. Earning money, mate.
My bet's still got next year, the Manus Pacificus team.
No.
Yeah. 100%.
Who has scored the most points in Rugby World Cup?
Oh.
Cups. So who has scored the most Rugby World Cup points? Gavin Hastings, Daniel Carter, Grant Fox, or Johnny Wilkinson?
That's actually tougher than you think. I have a funny feeling it's Hastings. And I was really surprised by that. Really surprised by that when I heard that.
Well, Gavin Hastings' name been in there?
One, his name been in there, but I think I heard that he has... most points.
Where'd you hear that from?
I don't know. I just heard it. See, naturally, I would say Dan Carter.
Okay.
But Johnny Wilkinson had a very good World Cup, but wasn't he injured? Do you know what I mean?
I thought he only went to one.
Yeah, so I'm not going to say Dan. So who are the other ones? Dan Carter.
Grant Fox
only played in one. So it can't be him. What did he play in two? Gavin Hastings.
Daniel Carter played in three.
He did play
in two. Well, two and a half, really, because he was injured in 2011, wasn't he?
I would naturally say Dan Carter, right? But Gavin Hastings, for some reason, is in my brain.
But Daniel Carter, 2.5 World Cups. Got to think about that.
But you're not trying to help me out, are you? You never help me out. You said, oh, you'll get three. If you don't get three, there's something wrong with you. So therefore, I'm leading to think that this is the bogus question. He did buy him three, though, didn't he? Oh, I hate this. For some reason, I think it's Gavin Hastings.
Final answer.
Final answer.
You're wrong.
Oh, Stan Carter.
No, you're wrong.
Oh.
Johnny Wilkinson.
Is it really?
So he has 277 points. Gavin Hastings has 227. Daniel Carter has 191. And Grant Fox has 170. If Grant Fox got 170 in one World Cup, that is amazing.
He must have gone to two. Must have. Can't believe Johnny Wilkinson has got the most points in World Cup.
Yeah. Did he go to the 99 World Cup?
Yeah. See, you tried to... You only went to one.
No, I...
Didn't you?
Yeah, but I wasn't sure. Guy, I asked you a question.
Right, mate, where in the world is Pablo Matera? Is he America, Japan, France, or England, or the UK?
Pablo Matera.
Pablo Matera.
I would not have a clue. I don't think he's in the UK. I don't think he's in America. He's either in France or Japan. I think he's in France. Pablo Matera's in France.
Final answer.
Yes. I'm wrong. Oh, right. Who's he playing for?
He's playing for, you've caught me on the hop there, he's playing for Stade de France A.
Stade de France A. Oh, right.
I don't think he's played very much because he's only got two appearances. So obviously with COVID.
Right.
I think he was stuck in Argentina for quite a while. All right, mate, so it's 1-1 going into the final question. 1-1,
yes, truth. Which team has the biggest winning margin in Rugby World Cup?
One-off game.
Is it Australia, New Zealand, England, or South Africa? So the biggest winning margin.
It's out of New Zealand and Australia. I can't remember whether it's Australia beat Japan in a World Cup or whether or not it wasn't in a World Cup. But New Zealand beat Japan by a huge total.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? Mark Ellis got like six tries or something ridiculous.
So it's out of those two. But I can't remember which one it is. Have I mentioned recently that I hate you? I got a funny feeling. Again, I don't know why I'm thinking that. I think it might be Australia. Like, they absolutely beat them by...
I can tell you they're both... I think they're both Japan.
Yes. Oh, so what did happen in a World Cup?
Yeah. This is Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
Don't try and read me.
I'm going to say Australia. I just have a, I would naturally say New Zealand, but I'm going to go Australia because I think Australia beat them by more than New Zealand. Oh, I'm going to go Australia.
You are correct.
Yes.
So the winning margin
142.
So that was 142-0.
142. What was New Zealand's?
I think New Zealand was like 147
something.
19 or 17 or something like that. England's best was 98. I'm not sure who they played. I don't know. South Africa.
Okay, mate. Last question for you.
I need this to draw.
Or lose it.
But I win. If we draw, I win because it goes back to the holder.
Is that how it works?
That's what happens.
You've never mentioned this before when I've drawn in the past.
That's just what happens, mate.
Mate,
Todd Blackadder.
Coaching. Where is he now?
Todd Blackadder.
Is he in America, Japan, France, or England, or the UK?
Is he in the UK, Todd Blackadder? I don't know. Todd Blackadder. Or is he in Japan? I don't know. So this is a bit of a stab in the dark. Is he in Japan, Todd Blackadder? Is he in Japan? I'm going to go Japan.
Final answer?
Yeah. Oh, I'm right. Oh, yes.
He is. He's in Japan, mate.
Who's he coaching?
He did spend some time in Edinburgh. So he went from the UK. He went from Crusaders to Edinburgh.
Edinburgh Blues.
That's
Glasgow Blues, I think.
Yeah, and then Bath until last year. He was coaching at Bath. He's off to the Toshiba Brave Lupus. What a name that is.
Lupus.
Not in the top league, I don't think.
Are they not?
I'm not sure.
And then the middle league.
I think they might be in the middle league. So, mate, it's a draw.
Draw? So, yeah, well, you don't have that many draws.
No. You know what? You've really upped your game.
But start, did you find... I mean, they were difficult, but you could... I think you could kind of work them out, couldn't you?
Yeah, about right. Mate, as always, it's been the highlight of my week working with you on the podcast. Do you believe that?
No.
Well, it's true. Highlight of my week. My week is pretty dull, as everyone will realise right now. But as always, it's an absolute pleasure.
Thank you very much for listening. Appreciate it.
We'll see you hopefully back here next week.
Catch you soon.